girl, welcome to the Empower Her podcast, where we are all about taking purpose-driven action toward building lives we really freaking love. My name's Keisha, and I'm an entrepreneur obsessed with giving you actual tools to help take you from where you are now to where you want to go in your life, career, and relationships. And this podcast is all about real talk and having some fun as we share incredible stories, tips, and tricks to help us get out of our own way and unapologetically make some moves. So, girlfriend, let's do the damn thing. Girl, I am so excited that you're here for today's episode because this is a conversation that was recorded from the Empower Her Live event this past September featuring my girl, Ashley Lemieux. And I think you are going to love this conversation because Ashley herself has a really inspiring story. And she talks a lot about how she's navigated different seasons of grief and transition in her life to build a life and career that she loves. And if you're not familiar with Ashley, she's actually a grief expert. And she's the host of a brand new podcast she just launched called Healing Her, which you're definitely going to have to check out. But in this conversation, she gets really real and raw about her journey, but also the action steps that it took her to build the dream life that she has now. But she's also really great at giving advice on asking for help, which I know is something that a lot of us struggle with, and setting boundaries, which is so applicable, especially during this time of year. And also, if you're struggling at all with supporting somebody else who might be going through a major transition, a grief experience, or just a tough time in their life. So I think you're really going to resonate with this in such a meaningful way. And of course, if you didn't know yet, we also have a YouTube channel. So if you're someone who likes to watch videos, you can check out this conversation on YouTube where you can see Ashley and I like sitting together on a couch. I'm also really pregnant and it's just fun sometimes to get to see people, you know, when you're listening into something. And also we have exclusive YouTube content that is dropped on the YouTube channel. So check it out. And I can't wait to hear what you think of this episode. So without further ado, let's dive right in. There's a lot of women here that are struggling with this thing of like, I've done this for a while and they have this idea of something else that they want to do, or maybe they've gone through a tough season and they want to share that with other people, but they don't know tactically because they're caught up in like, how would I get to Ashley's place when they haven't started? So can you give like a little bit of backstory on that part?
Yes. Do you want me to give tactical or do you want me to give my backstory?
Your backstory and tactical.
Perfect. Cool. Actually, let's just mix this all into one because it's okay. Kind of the same thing.
Yay.
We're going to go back to this clarity mapping that I was just talking about.
Yeah.
Okay, because this truly is what transformed my life, that I was like, I am here. Let me set the stage. In 2017, I was doing something totally different in my career. I was running a jewelry business and I was running a clothing business and I loved it for the season that I was in, but then it just grew and grew, and I found myself feeling lost in what it was that I actually wanted to be doing, which was writing and speaking, and I couldn't do both. And I had already felt like the rug was ripped out from me in so many other areas of my life that I was really afraid to make the pivot, and I didn't know how, because making the pivot would mean of letting go of a lot of things that I held really dearly. So it felt really scary. So enter clarity mapping. I knew that I wanted to feel empowered and peaceful in my life, and that the only way I could do that was by doing work that was fulfilling to me. And I didn't know what those logistics meant, but I decided that I was going to stay committed to that feeling. So what I did was my clarity map, I put that in the center, and then I put the things around it that would support it that I wanted to do. I wanted to become a best-selling author. I wanted to have a podcast. I wanted to do retreats. I wanted to do all these things. I also knew that I can't do them all at the same time. And there's a lot of things that have to shift before we can get there, right? So the next part of clarity mapping for me was taking each one that I wanted to do, and I started with the most feasible. At that time, I really wanted to write a book. So what does this look like? Under my box of writing a book, tangible things. Where do I start and then where do I go? Okay, I need to write a book proposal. That's the very first thing I must do. If I'm going to call myself an author, I got to have a book proposal. I then need to shop that book proposal around to literary agents. And either I'm going to get picked up by one or not, and each is going to create its own different path. From then, we're going to send it to publishers. Maybe to help me get there, I need an editor. But do you see, like, the steps were so lined out clearly for me that I had to do that because everything at once felt so overwhelming, because it is so overwhelming. And as I started to really figure out what it was I actually needed, that's what I would commit to. And then I would just take it one next right step at a time.
So good. How many of you in here want to write a book? Raise your hand.
Ooh. Oh, I love that.
Okay, so good. So question in terms of seasonality, right? Which I think you, with seasons of grief that you've had in your life and transitioning into motherhood, how do you support yourself? And what I mean by that is, like, there are a lot of us that maybe don't even actually struggle with comparing ourselves to other people, but we struggle with comparing ourselves to a prior version of ourselves when the circumstances were different.
Yes.
Right? So how have you navigated that through all of the, I mean, you have dealt with a lot of grief. For people that, like, get her books, like, read her backstory, it's absolutely, like, amazing just to see, like, what you've overcome and how you're standing here today. But, like, how did you know, like, how to support yourself? And what are some things that you did that were, you think would be helpful for people to hear?
I'm gonna be honest, for a long time, I didn't know how to support myself. And sometimes I still don't. Like I told you, I've been eating ice cream sandwiches every night since July. That's 2.5 months now, you guys, right?
That honestly sounds like a great idea right now.
It is. I need to hook you up with some of those. They're really good. But it goes back to this acknowledgement piece. And for me, that has been the key thing of where am I really? And I ask myself that question every day. And still, sometimes still my grief can be so heavy that the most supportive thing I can do for myself that day is, you know what? I'm not going to go to the gym today. I'm going to stay in bed a little bit later. We can't will ourselves into getting better. We can't. We have to do things that actually support us and make us feel safe to do the things that we then want to do. And so sometimes it looks like me making myself get up to go to the gym. And sometimes it looks like me staying in bed an extra hour. Sometimes it looks like me shutting everything else out because I just need to be introverted. And other times it looks like me being really focused in therapy. And to get to that place for myself, I've had to become really honest, which I know can be so hard and can be so scary. And in fact, right before I got pregnant with our daughter, it had been a year of us trying to get pregnant again. And this time we were doing all the fertility shots and it just wasn't happening and no one could tell us why. And I felt like our road had been so long to trying to get our baby here that it was starting to suck the life out of me. And I knew that I needed something that could help bring life back to me, because I felt betrayed by my body. I felt like a failure. I felt just all these really complex emotions. And so we decided that we were done trying to grow our family for a while. And during that time, I decided that I wanted to be able to further help people through their own stuff, that if I could pair my personal experience with an educational experience, then maybe I could help more women who feel like I do. So it was during that time that I actually went back to school. And then I ended up getting pregnant and then graduating and having to do a thesis with a little newborn, which was wild and just so amazing also. But I often think that sometimes the hardest feelings that we feel is our own balm to the world. Sometimes I think that the things we run away from because we're afraid of it are actually the things that we're experts in. And if we could just dig into it a little bit deeper, there's so much there that we can offer the people around us.
That's so beautifully put, because it's like sometimes when you're in it and you're feeling resistance, you're not thinking about this other version of you on the other end that's going to feel so fulfilled by the work that you get to do from how you navigated getting yourself through. And like literally you're a testimony of that. You're a highlighter testimony of that.
I'm a highlighter.
I love this. Okay. So what about the women in this room? And let's actually just raise our hand. How many of you struggle with asking for help?
Oh, me.
Okay. Everyone raises their hand. Okay. We're all in this together. How, during seasons where you've needed more help than you're used to, have you gotten yourself more comfortable asking for help? And what, like, tactical type advice do you have for anyone that really struggles with that too?
I love this question, because for some reason we have in our brains, and let me backtrack, it's not for some reason, it's because of the messaging that we're given, especially as women, we're told that we should just be doing all the things, right? It's like, you do all the things, you're gonna figure it out. So then when we need help, we feel guilty about it. Do you feel guilty when you ask for help, or is that just me?
Hands up, let's see a visual. Then you can look around and
okay.
say you're not alone.
Yeah. So let me tell you something about guilt, because guilt is such a driving emotion in our lives. What we know about guilt is that the reason our brains tell us we're guilty or make us feel guilty is because it is actually us trying to protect ourselves and make us feel like we are in control of situations that are outside our control. So when we feel guilt, we tell ourselves, well, if I would just do that thing better, then it wouldn't feel so hard. Or if I would do this thing better, then that wouldn't have happened. And if I just do this and this and this, then I can be in control. And then if I blame myself, then I feel safe existing in an unpredictable world. So then, as women, when we try to go ask for help, we feel guilty that we can't do it all. But instead of allowing ourselves to confront the fact that we can't do it all and we were never supposed to, it makes us feel like we're out of control and that we're not good enough and all these other stories. So how then do we ask for help? An example of this is right now my mom is back in Phoenix with my little girl. That's something that's really hard for me. And remember this word we just learned? And I also know that the best version of me as a mom is also the version that asks for help. So in my mind, I have to figure out what can coexist and what are some things that I have to get additional support for so that the best version of me can show up. And then that's what I focus on.
So good. Okay, let's talk about boundaries in general.
I feel like you've got a lot to talk about with boundaries. Okay.
So struggling, like for any woman right now in this room that's struggling with, it's nice to crisscross.
Isn't this feels way better. Yeah, I love
that. All of a sudden, I'm just like, no pressure. This is great, right? It's like a couch. We're all together. Okay.
I hope you're loving this conversation with Ashley. I just wanted to pop in here real quick and make sure I kept you in the loop. If you didn't know, we just launched a YouTube channel. You can find it at Keisha Get Mary. But what's so cool about this is I know there are some of you, maybe you specifically, that love video content. So we're dropping episodes like today's episode with Ashley is on the YouTube channel. But in addition, I'm also recording exclusive YouTube content. For example, two upcoming videos are how I prepped for an unmedicated childbirth, which I know some of you are really curious about, as well as tips to grow your podcast and a lot of other fun, juicy content that's coming. Really, I just want to make sure that I'm giving you as much resources as I can in different ways that you might find to be helpful for you. So to get the link to subscribe, you can check the show notes and you'll get access to all previous content and be the first to know when the new videos drop, or you can text the word YouTube to 512-548-2728. Again, text the word YouTube to 512-548-2728, and I will directly send you the link, and you'll get all the juice. All right, without further ado, let's dive back in. Struggling with like setting boundaries or the thing that I think that we often do, and you let me know if you guys resonate with this, okay? Where we get frustrated by people overstepping boundaries that they don't even know exist. Anyone? Like, why are they texting me this? Why are they asking me to do this? And it's like, well, they don't even know. Okay. How have you navigated boundaries in different seasons of your life, your career, and communicating those boundaries to other people? Yeah. And what does that all mean to you?
So here's where I think we get wrong with boundaries.
Yeah.
A lot of times I think that we believe boundaries are things that we put in place for other people that they can't cross over.
Yeah.
But what a boundary actually is for us. Boundaries are things that we decide that we don't allow other people to step over. So we can't control them and what they do, but we can control what we do and what our response is and how far we let people press into whatever space it is that we're needing to create in our lives. So we can do this in a few ways. And I know that it's so hard, but this acknowledgement piece that requires vulnerability and honesty. I was just talking to my mom the other day about something just so random where we both just kind of overstepped. And in both of our minds, we hadn't done anything wrong individually, but then we realized where the other person was coming from. And had I communicated how I was actually feeling, then she would have known to validate that. But how many times are we getting these texts, or are we required to be in these certain places dealing with all these things that we feel like we don't have the capacity for, but we haven't actually said the words, I can't do this right now, or I'm not going to do this, or I'm going to opt out, or whatever that looks like. And again, I think that goes back to being clear on what feeling is it that you want, and then how can you create that also in your relationships? Because the most powerful thing that you can do for your relationships is be honest. And if that includes boundaries that need to be talked about, then that is the most supportive thing that you can do for that relationship.
So good. So to someone in this room right now that has someone in their life close to them that is navigating a tough season or grief, how can we support if we don't feel like we know how to support, right? Because I feel like that's a question that often comes up, is like, I want to make sure this person knows that they're supported. But sometimes if we don't know what to say, we don't say anything, which I know can be hurtful too. What was helpful for you during tough seasons? What's been helpful for your clients? Give us a little on that. Yeah.
One of the hardest things to know how to do is to show up for people we love when they're hurting, because we want to fix it. And we want to make sure that we say the right thing and we do the right thing and we don't say something that's going to make them more sad. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's nothing that you're going to say that's going to make them more sad. They're already sad. But I also want to give you some relief so that you know your job is not to fix it. Remember this new grief experience we're having? Grief is not something to be fixed, but to be experienced. The best thing that you can do for anyone in your life who's going through a hard time is literally just to show up and let them know that you are there with them. And you can even say, hey, I see you right now and I see you hurting, and I want to let you know that you are so important to me. And I'm afraid I'm going to say the wrong thing, and I'll be honest and say I don't know the right thing to say, but I want to let you know I'm in this with you and we're going to figure this out together. People in grief, especially when it's acute and just happening, they just want to know that there's going to be people around them. That they're not going to be alone in it, because the feelings of grief inside of us, and so many of us have probably felt this ourselves, the feeling of grief lies to us and tells us that we're alone, we're the only one. But the truth about grief is that it can actually connect us deeper than we've ever been connected with each other. But we have to allow ourselves to sit in that messy, uncomfortable part and just maybe sit and cry. And that's all we're doing right at that moment.
So you have a new podcast.
Yes.
I want to know, what was the reason for starting it? What's the intention with the show? Why also, because there's a lot of women in this room that have a lot of ideas of they want to do, like the book, the podcast, the events, the this, the that. How did you decide that this was the right time to start Healing Her, and give us all of that?
Oh, this is so good, because I feel like so many times we tell ourselves we should be doing a certain thing, but then maybe it's not the right season of our life. And for me, at this point in my life, my main priority is being home with my baby during these years. I am rarely away. I have taken on way less work than I used to. And I also want to be clear that I am not saying that that is the right thing, right? Like, that's not just the one answer, but for me at this season of my life, that's what my answer looks like. And it's okay if yours looks different than that. I just want to be very clear about that. But I am missing this connection with women that has to go deeper than social media, has to go deeper than how I'm able to connect on Instagram. And I actually had a podcast before, but then I got pregnant and I had no capacity. That was not a season of my life where I could do more than just focus on getting her safely here. I have very high risk pregnancies. I get the same weird infection when I'm pregnant, and that's all. It takes all of me. So now in this season of my life, as I've been thinking about what can I do that will allow me to be home as much as I want, but still also make the connections and the impact that I want. What does that look like? It's not another book right now. That is a very emotionally draining process. and there's just all these things that it wasn't, But what it was and what I realized I missed so much was connecting through podcasting. And so that's why I chose podcasting in this season. And I totally switched everything that we were doing with the podcast. I relaunched a new one. It's called Healing Her. And I had also made a promise to myself after I had a late pregnancy loss with that first story that I shared with you when I was just working and working and running myself more ragged and more ragged. I promised myself that I would not pick up another project again until I was emotionally ready and not using it as a crutch to try to help me feel better.
Ooh, did that resonate with anybody? Wow, that's good.
So just to set that timeline, though, that was 3.5 years ago. Yeah. So for 3.5 years, I have not picked up anything new. I had to get really freaking honest with myself. And sometimes that got scary, and sometimes I was like, but I want to. But that was a promise I had to stay true to. And as I was thinking this summer about what is that thing, I just knew it's the podcast season, and that's what I'm going to lean really hard into right now, and I'm grateful I can, and I know that another season will come where I will write another book and we'll do more in-person retreats. But learning how to be where I am in the present moment and not try to run away from it, trying to pursue other things that it's just not right the right time for, is what has added the most value in my life. And I also want to say, you can go really deep on the one thing.
Yeah.
You can go so deep on that one thing for the rest of your life if you wanted to. And so focusing on the one thing, if you're in that place right now, it doesn't mean you're failing at the other things, but it means that that's what you have space for and that's where you're going to give your energy to right now.
I love that, because it feels like this permission slip to just say, like, what season of life am I in now? And what actually makes sense for how I want to feel, the whole clarity mapping side of things, but also even just like drowning out the noise. Cause it's really easy in this culture that we live in where it's like, I need to be doing more, but then we're drowning, right?
So we're told that we need to be doing more, and we're told that we need to be doing more because we're told that that's going to fix how we're feeling. But how we're feeling is because so many of us are actually in pain and loss, and it hasn't been confronted. And that's the harder work, but it's easier to say, well, if I just do this and this, it will feel better. I think a lot of times too, social media can make it seem like, well, this person is doing this thing, and this thing. Let me tell you right now, you know how many people that person probably has on their team?
Yeah.
They're not doing it by themselves. It looks like they might be. And then we see the best of all these people, like, well, I should be able to run that fast. I should be able to do all these things that this person is doing, not realize the background and the support that goes on and the help that goes on behind that.
Yeah.
And just getting really confident in whatever your decision is, and then just going all in on that.
So good. Okay, so to close this out, what would you, like, thinking of Ashley before getting pregnant with your daughter, right? Like, even a couple months before that season where you're just kind of like, is this ever going to happen, right? Is this ever going to be a dream that manifests in this way? What would you say to someone maybe in this room right now that might be struggling with something they're not even talking about, that could just like give them a little bit of like a friend hug, yeah, of like, they're going to get through it?
I don't know what you're going through right now, but I want you to know that whatever it is, your story isn't over yet. And that there are still so many chapters to be written, to unfold. There are so many special and unique parts of you that are going to continue to shine in the darkness. And what I have learned about the darkness, when life feels dark, any amount of light can light up any amount of darkness. And so one right choice at a time, as you allow yourself to shine, even when it feels so hard, you might end up writing a story that you could never have even fathomed before. And this doesn't mean it's not going to be hard to get there. This doesn't mean, like Izzy, Izzy, we call him now. It doesn't mean that it's going to be easy, but it means that both can exist, and I have so much hope for your future.
I mean, come on. Ashley LeVue, everybody.
Thanks, guys. Oh. You're the best. Thanks, Paige.
You're the best. Everybody on your feet. Let's give her a good round of applause here.
Thank you so much for listening in. If you love this episode, it would mean so much to me if you shared it with a girlfriend. Like, send it to her right now. Or post it on social media and tag me so I can personally thank you for helping me get the message out. I am so freaking grateful to be on this journey with you, girl. So until next time, I'll talk to you soon.